So we're not packed today, and I'm going to call your attention to that. This is a hard topic. We've been packed for a long time on Sunday mornings. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm not, you know, it's May, the weather's nice, and maybe people are traveling. But we're tackling a hard topic today. The UUA asked if congregations would do a white supremacy teach-in. And a little more than half of the congregations in the UUA responded and said yes. Now, white supremacy, I'm not a white supremacist, right? I don't put on a hood. I have never burned a cross on anybody's yard. So I want to stay from the outset here. Because I know somebody's going to come to me later and say, Reverend Madeline, I'm not a white supremacist. I don't know why we did this. We're not talking about aspirational white supremacy here. And it's important to make the difference, to know, right? There's aspirational white supremacy. People who actively seek an all-white nation, who go around saying things like, black people shouldn't be voting, and there shouldn't be interracial marriage, and we don't want black people here, and other races, and it's often focused on black people, but not only, right? I mean, if you live along the Mexican border, then it's going to be very much focused on Latinos, right? I'm not talking about aspirational white supremacy. I'm talking about what's kind of in the DNA, the stuff that I was talking about in the story, the stuff that we, that if we're privileged, if you identify as white, I identify as white, if you identify as white, that we have the privilege of not noticing. And this is hard stuff. But we are a community of faith, we are a religious community, and we hold each other in love, and you've been tackling hard stuff together all year, and I think that we can do this together. Do you think that we can do this together?
Yes.
I think that we can. Why does the UUA want us to do this now? Well, some of you might have noticed that there's been a little kerfuffle in the UUA of late. There was an opening for a regional lead in the southern region, and there were some finalists for the position, and the head of congregational life hired a straight cisgender white man who did not intend to move to the southern region for the position. And there was a woman of color who had applied for the position and who was one of the finalists, who lived in the region and who was told she was not a good fit. Okay. That wasn't even what started the big kerfuffle. What had happened was, after that, a group responded and said, hey, you know, there are some issues here. We've looked at hiring in the UUA, and people of color, when we do hire them, we put them in the position of multicultural consultant. Great. I mean, that's an important position, but great. You know, like, is that the only thing you're qualified for if you're a person of color? And that most of the people of color who were hired by the UUA were in very low-level positions, and I do mean very, like cleaning bathrooms, very low-level positions. Not exclusively, but most of the people. And then the president of the UUA responded poorly. He responded emotionally rather than taking a step back and taking a breath. And he wrote a letter that was full of some very hurtful things, for which he has taken full responsibility and has acknowledged that it was a bad letter, and he responded when he should have been listening. And he stepped down. But that's where... And then there have been more responses on top of that. And more responses, and more responses. Including from the executive director of the UU Ministers Association, which is causing more of a kerfuffle in the UU Ministers Association. And so Black Lives of UUs has asked us to take a good hard look. Because none of this stuff just popped up last month. We have this very long history. William Howard Taft was a Unitarian. And Oliver Wendell Holmes was a Unitarian. And why am I bringing up Oliver Wendell Holmes? Who knows what court case I'm talking about with Oliver Wendell Holmes? Buck versus Bell, in which he wrote the lead opinion promoting eugenics and saying three generations of imbeciles is enough, another prominent Unitarian. In 1903, the American Unitarian Association was the publisher for a book called The Blood of the Nation, promoting eugenics. I have read this book. You can read it online. I have actually read the book. It's don't read it on a full stomach. Talking about how our good white Northern European blood, Protestant blood, is going to be polluted by Jews and Negroes, which was the term of the time, right? And all these other undesirables if we don't, you know, get working on eugenics and make sure these people aren't reproducing. That's our history. Even if we aren't fifth generation Unitarian Universalists, because when we move into a system, we start operating in that system if our eyes are not wide open and we don't start saying, oh, hey, I'm seeing things here. Hey, why are we doing this? And so, we're going to take a good hard look at things today. Now, the church doesn't operate in a bubble, right? We're out in the world. We're a church in the United States. And things are happening in the United States. Now, just last week, Jordan Edwards became, I believe, the 337th person of color this year killed by police, and the youngest. This isn't new stuff, but people are videotaping it now, right? Videotaping, recording it on phones. And in that instance, the police even tried to say, well, they were backing towards us until you could see on the video that the car was actually going away. And so the man who killed that child has now been arrested and charged with murder because it was a murder. But this is not something that just started last year. And if you identify as white, and I'm not telling you, by telling you that Black Lives Matter, by saying that Black Lives Matter, I'm not saying that I don't care about police. It's a hard job. And I'm not saying that I don't care about anybody else, but I'm saying that I have finally been awakened. And I am in my mid-50s, and I have been finally awakened to what's going on because I have the privilege of walking down the street and having never been stopped for walking or driving while white. But I know now, and it's taken this long for me to recognize that this happens all the time. I am not accusing anyone. This is not to say, you are bad people. You are good people. I love you. You're doing good, hard work, but can we continue to learn? There's a phrase I learned this year, I heard this year for the first time, when we knew better, we did better. In the 1970s, it was all about being colorblind on purpose. And that's what I was taught growing up. And I didn't know that that was about erasing somebody else's entire culture. But now I know better. So I want to give you this quiz. And you don't have to take it out loud. But I want you to do this. This is from Absurdist Words, is the tweeter, who wrote this in Not All White People. And I'm going to tell you that I can't answer no to all of these questions. White people, have you, and if you identify as a person of color, you feel free to take this too. Have you ever presumed that a black person was less qualified for a skilled job than a white person? Have you ever defended accusations of racism by invoking black friends? Have you ever laughed or poked fun at a characteristically black name like Letitia or Daquan? Have you ever considered a black friend not really black? Have you ever joked that you were blacker than your black friend because you get engaged in more stereotypically black aesthetics, such as clothes, slang, or music? Have the terms welfare or poverty automatically brought up images of black people in your mind? Have you passed by stories of missing black kids while paying rapt attention to a missing white girl? Have you ever thought or suggested that a black person was exaggerating their experience of racism? Have most of your black friends been people whose families and friends you know little to nothing about? Have you ever caught yourself agreeing with the sentiment that blacks are more criminal than whites? Have you ever felt more unsafe around a group of black kids than around a group of white kids in the same circumstance? Have you ever dismissed movies with predominantly black casts as black movies and not of general interest? Have you ever laughed at a black stereotype? Have you ever been surprised that a black person was eloquent? Have you ever looked at a cop shooting of an unarmed black person and thought, not my problem? Have you ever wished that black people would speak properly? Have you ever presumed that you were smarter than a black person without evidence? Have you ever pointed to Obama as evidence of a post-racial society? Have you ever assumed that a black person got into a good school or job because of affirmative action? Have you ever told a black person that if they just stopped talking about race, it wouldn't be so much of an issue? Have you ever cringed at a family member dating a black person? Have you ever sat through offensive racist jokes about black people and said nothing or laughed along? Have you ever found yourself thinking of Africa as a country? Have you ever insisted on your colorblindness? Have you ever felt the need to explain how racism works to a black person? Have you ever thought of black history as separate or tangential to American history? Have you ever affected or mimed black mannerisms in order to greet a new black person? Have you ever responded to a black person discussing the damage inflicted on them by racism and answered, "Not all white people"? Have you found yourself concerned with proving that you passed this test? You probably didn't get through this without saying yes to at least one of these things, and that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just shows that we are all affected by anti-black attitudes and teachings in America. If you didn't get through this without saying yes, remember that it's not an exhaustive list, and getting all no's doesn't make you immune to anti-blackness. Are you familiar with the experiment in which children, preschool children, are given dolls, a black doll and a white doll, and asked which one is the good one and which one is the bad one? And even the black children choose the black doll to say, this is the bad child. This is the message that we are getting from society. If you identify as white, and I identify as white, it is up to us to work at letting our guard down so that we can begin the work of healing. Healing our nation, healing the UUA, healing ourselves here in this congregation, because I'll bet we have work to do. Some of you remember being accused of being racist because of buying this property. There are underlying things. Now I want to tell you that buying a property because a church that was already here couldn't afford to continue to rent it and they weren't going to be here anyway, that wasn't an act of racism. But there are things that are going on underneath that that needed to be discussed, right? There are things that needed to come out. We need to heal the congregation, and we need to heal ourselves. White people are damaged by this as much as people of color. Only we're not hurt as much. We're not physically hurt as much, but we are damaged as much. Do you understand what I'm saying, what I'm getting at? I'm getting some, what? Well, I mean, we can go on and live our lives, but we're spiritually hurt by this. And we must do the work of healing. So I invite you to turn to somebody in the pews and say, when I know better, I do better. Okay. Now, where is Ellen? Ellen Badgley over there is going to be leading a deeper conversation downstairs in the fellowship hall afterwards. She's circled up some chairs, and she's going to be leading a deep conversation. Because this is a teach-in. And we're gonna learn from each other, and we're going to do some more. She's going to lead a deep conversation in the fellowship hall. Feel free to, if there aren't enough chairs already, if there's more of you want to go, grab more chairs and go. And I invite you to participate. This isn't about self-flagellation. This isn't about saying, well, I've been bad. It's about saying, wow, there are things I can continue to learn. There are things I can do better. And I'm telling you, I grew up until I was 7 years old. I went to school with black kids, Dominican kids, Puerto Rican kids, and I think there were white kids there too, because I was there. I'm white. I grew up in multicultural Inwood in Manhattan. And these messages were totally in my system. By the time I was 6 years old, I knew that to be pretty, you had to be blonde and blue-eyed, because it was on the TV. And when Jesse Jackson said that he felt himself tense up, that he was afraid when he saw walking down a dark alley and saw a black man coming down the street, he wasn't saying you need to be afraid of black people. He was telling us that that's what society had done to him. And if it was in Jesse Jackson, then it's going to be in the rest of us. So I invite you to continue to do this work here in the beloved community where we support one another, where we have love for one another, where we will not accuse one another. I know you can do this work. I know we can do the work of healing. Amen? Amen. Namaste.